please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday, Brevard County. How in the world are you today? This is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. And we're coming up on our 26th anniversary of being at the church and just having a great, great time. And, you know, I thought maybe we'd slow down a little bit by now, but we're just about as busy as we've ever been. And we want to send an invitation out to you if you'd like to be a part of Merit Assembly of God. Maybe you are looking for the will of God. You know, when we came to Brevard County, we didn't have a church lined up that we were going to. We came to Brevard County, didn't know one single person. All we had was the name of my supervisor for the department store that I was working at. And we had to go around and visit churches, and we had to find out what the will of God for our family was. That was what we prayed. Say, God, you know, transferring us, our secular job transferred us, our full-time job of retail management transferred us here. And I said, I got no problem going wherever you want me to go, doing whatever you want, but you've called me into the ministry, and so, God, you'll have to find us a place of ministry. And so we visited a few churches, and actually the church that we ended up being at was the church that we kind of ruled out because there were so many people already in ministry at that church. And we said, well, you know, this probably isn't the spot. Well, we didn't know everything at that point in time, and God was getting ready to plant a church, and a number of those people in ministry at that church were going to the church plant. We plugged in at the church in December, and in January was when they announced the plans, and by January I was involved in a level of ministry, and by April I was the youth pastor at that church. And so I want to encourage you. You might think that a small church might not be where you end up. You might think that a large church might not be where you serve. But I want to encourage you to pray and get plugged in to a local church that preaches the Word of God in an uncompromised manner and makes disciples. That's what we strive to do. And so we want to encourage you to get out there and find your place in the body of Christ. So we've been at Merit Assembly of God for 26 years. You know, we thought that it would grow numerically faster than it did. And then all of a sudden, we hit a stretch in 2005, 2006, where we were set back almost a decade because a number of families were relocated out throughout the country. Some moved farther away in Brevard County where they couldn't attend. Others moved across the state. Others moved all the way across the country. Some moved back up north. And that season was a challenging season. We said, God, are you done with us here? And he assured us that he was not. And so we said, well, we will stay faithful. And God has helped us to rebound. We're blessed with a tremendous body of believers, people who are filled with faith, people who love one another, and they genuinely love people. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of a church family, we're not all related. Very few of us are related genetically, but we are related spiritually, and we want everybody to find their place in the body of Christ. I want to take you today in the scriptures to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to look at a few verses here today as to how they have to do with the will of God. So verse number 13 says this: "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So Paul or John is writing here, and he says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." That is a targeted audience. He's writing to the body of Christ. Many of the things that we think were written to unbelievers were actually written to believers. Revelation 3:20, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." That's normally given as a salvation invitation, but that was actually an admonition and an invitation extended to a local church. So we need to look to see who the audience is, and in this case, it is the body of believers. That is you and me. And John says that you may know that you have eternal life. He says, the reason that I am writing these things to believers, those people who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, is that you may know that you have eternal life. I want to talk to you a little bit about insecurity today. There's a lot of people that they live their life never being certain about anything. And I can tell you this. I am certain that Jesus paid the price for my sins. I'm certain that he paid the price for your sins and the sins of the whole world. I believe that it was an adequate price. Not too long ago, I was going out to lunch. I'd cleaned out my wallet or my briefcase, and I'd come across this gift card. And so it was to a local fast food place, and it fits my budget, which is cheap. And so I found this gift card, and I presented the gift card to the lady at the window, and it had no balance. I had used it all up, and it's like, that's no problem. I've got adequate resources here that I can cover this $3.20 lunch. That's in case you think that I eat high on the hog. It's a very small hog if I'm eating high on the hog. I like cheap lunches. That's what I like. And there are a lot of people who wonder about their eternal life. And I want you to understand that Jesus paid an adequate price. His gift card did not have a zero balance on it. He didn't overlook you. He didn't forget about you. And so when you asked him to be Savior and Lord of your life, I want you to understand that he intends on you having eternal life. But eternal life is not something that begins post-death. Eternal life is something that happens right now as well. It is eternal, but it is also right now. And I believe that God wants us to know that we are children of the Most High God. Wouldn't it be horrible if I was a parent and I went home every day and say, "Well, you know, I'm not sure if you're going to get to live here for the next day or so, because, you know, I'm just not sure if you're my kid or not." And I will tell you, it doesn't matter whether it's something on the job, whether it has something to do with people that you deal with or personalities. It doesn't matter if you're singing or if you're playing an instrument. Confidence has a great deal of bearing on how well you do that particular task. And I believe that if we would realize it is by grace we are saved through faith and not of works, lest anyone should boast, if we would realize that it's because God has made it possible for us to be his children, that it would embolden us to serve with a great deal more confidence. I'm not saying that just because you prayed that prayer, you can go out and do whatever you want. We're talking about people who believe that he is the Son of the living God, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and that he has a purpose and a plan for our lives, and we have embraced that will and that purpose. He says, "I want you all to be fully cognizant of the fact that you have eternal life." And many people, I teach church history, or I have taught church history. I'm not teaching it this January. And one of the things that I discovered as I was prepping for that course was that there were people who developed theological mindsets due to disappointment, discouragement, and the difficult seasons that they were dealing with. And so many people set aside any hope for victory in this life and put all of their stock in this glorious future. And I want you to understand, heaven is going to be glorious. Being with Jesus is going to be glorious. But we are also called to live in victory now. One of the verses that became a great favorite of mine is where the scripture says that Jesus always leads his people in triumphal procession. And so I need him to lead more and me follow better. That's what I need. And you probably need Jesus to lead more and you follow better. We need to realize that he came that we might have abundant life, or life to the full, or life to the uttermost. And so I want you to take a look around and say, am I experiencing the eternal life that God wants me to have? Now, we are servants. My wife and I, we are servants. That's what we do. It is the mindset that we take. I serve at Merit Assembly of God. I'm the pastor, but my role as a minister is to serve. And so at my church, I know that there are different positions on this, that people want to honor their pastor, and I appreciate that. At our church, we have a limited number of parking spots. And so one of the ways that I serve is because I am able to ambulate, I'm able to get around and mobilize, I will take the very farthest parking spot for multiple reasons. One is because there are some people in our church that they need to walk the shortest distance possible. And second is I want those parking spots close to the door available for visitors and unsaved people who don't need another excuse as to why not to come to church. We need to make it as easy for them as possible. And so I tend to take the farthest parking spot away. Now, when we have our Thanksgiving dinner on this coming Sunday, you may find that I park in a different spot because we have parking on Grove Street. We have parking in the parking lot, but a lot of people don't know about the parking in the parking lot. Well, whenever we have a dinner, people drop off the food closest to the fellowship hall. And so a lot of times, that street side parking will not have a lot of vehicles out there because everybody's parked in the other parking spot. So at that point in time, I'll move my vehicle around, not because I want to be closer, but to let people know who may not be familiar with the layout of our church. Hey, church is open. God is on the move. We welcome you. We want you to have a wonderful, wonderful encounter with God at Merit Assembly of God. Know that you have eternal life. And when you do that, it will equip you and empower you to serve better, because eternal life goes on forever. Eternal life goes through good days. Eternal life reigns through difficult days. And that reign just keeps on, eternal life just continues to influence. And so, it goes on and it says, and there's an additional reason why John had written this letter, and that is in that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. It is not just a one-time act. It is a continuous action that takes place, is that I believed when I prayed, I continue to believe, and I'm going to continue to believe no matter what test comes my way, no matter what trial comes my way. Continue to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I believe in him not just philosophically. I believe in him in a practical manner as well. And I mentioned on a recent program, how I went ahead and said yes, even though my feelings weren't there yet, because I discerned the will of God in the situation. And I said, God, this is something you're putting together, and I'm going to say yes, And I know that you are going to empower and equip me for everything that is needed. Now, in verse number 14, it says this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him." Do you know the number one reason that people don't tell others about Jesus is because they don't feel equipped. They don't feel like they know the scripture well enough. They don't feel like they've been trained and to a sufficient level. And so they're constantly chasing more head knowledge. And the reality is, all God wants us to do is tell the things that we've heard, tell the things that we've seen, and give glory to God. That's all there is to it. It's not a complicated process. And so a lot of people don't have confidence in themselves when it comes to sharing Jesus with their unsaved family, friends, and coworkers. And so whatever you need to do to elevate your level of confidence in God, then I want you to take those steps. Get whatever training you need, but then don't, you know, a commercial said, you know, "I've done all of the research and I still can't pull the trigger." And the guy says, "Sounds like you've got analysis paralysis." And you know, a lot of times we are spiritually paralyzed by the fear that we're going to be rejected. And if that's the case, I want you to have the confidence that even if you say something wrong, even if you do something that's not 100% your loving Heavenly Father is not going to reject you because you miss. You know, I've never rebuked a staff person for trying something that they believed God was saying and then it not working out. I would say, okay, now what can we learn from this? How can we move forward? But there are a lot of times, and you've heard me talk about my pastor that just passed away in October. He talked about when I was doing my internship with him. He said, "You see that sign over there?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I told somebody to change that sign 3 weeks ago, and it still wasn't there." And so there are a lot of times where correction comes because action was supposed to be taken and it wasn't taken, but have confidence in him. The number one reason that people do not pray for those who are sick is they lack the confidence that God is going to answer their prayers. They don't have a sense of confidence about that. And so they would rather the person continue in the condition that they are in without any spiritual hope and save face than they would risk their reputation and say, "Hey, I'm going to pray with you and believe that God is able to heal." And so I've known a number of people that the only thing that was holding them back, sometimes it's, you know, with testifying, sometimes it's with praying, sometimes it's with business matters, is they just lacked confidence. And John writes here, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So you will find many people and they will pray their prayers and they say, now God, if it's your will, would you heal this person? And so they put that little caveat in there and a little addendum and they feel like that's going to be okay. Well, Jesus said that the things that he did were the things that he saw his Father doing, and he had confidence that his Father was doing what was good. And the things that he spoke were the things that he heard the Father speaking, and he had confidence in the Father's words. And I think that we need that type of relationship with God, where we understand what the will of God is in that particular situation, and we step out and we pray, "God, this is what you have birthed in my life. We went through a situation here recently where a member in my family, in a hopeless situation, made a statement of faith about what God was planting in their life. And we had some unique things happen as a result of that. And so I believe that if you are looking to pray about a situation, you need to start by hearing. Okay? We get hung up on the part of he hears us. I believe that we come to know his will by hearing him. And when we hear him, we are the ones that are responsible for saying amen. In case you do not know the meaning of amen, it is a word that means so be it. We come into agreement with that statement. It is not just something that is to you know, verbally reaffirm the pastor. It is something where you are saying out of your spirit, I got that, I agree with that, and I'm going to use my mouth to declare it, as well as my ear. I'm using my ears to hear it, my heart to receive it, and my mouth to declare it. Amen. God, make it so. Make it so. And it says, now we have this confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So my wife has this ability to cause me to tune out other things that are going on if somebody is trying to get my attention. When we first came to Florida, my son was very very young. When we came here, he was a little over two. And we were transitioning at work. She brought him to work, was dropping him off, and then I was taking him home. And so I was giving some parting orders, and he was trying to get my attention, and he was saying, Dad, 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 Dad. And I was focused on what I was doing. And so he just took his arm and he just stretched it forth and he punched me and he had my attention immediately. It wasn't that he was trying to be mean. He was like, and I said, you know what, son, I will be with you in just a second. Now I want to tell you something. I've got the ability not to be able to focus on things, but God has this unique ability that he can focus undivided attention on you while he's giving the same attention to me, while he's giving his attention to 7 billion other people, all the while he is working his eternal plan into place. There is a time that God's plan is going to be implemented. He hears us, and he says this, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If you turn over just a couple of pages to 1 John chapter 3, and in verse number 22, it says this, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, this concept that whenever we pray and he hears us, that we have what we ask, people like to quote a verse without looking at the entire context of that. Whenever you see that phrase, I would like to encourage you to do a New Testament study, because there are a lot of people who get discouraged in their faith because they're asking for things and they're not getting them. And here in chapter 3, verse number 22, it says, because we keep his commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Everything is revolving around his will, not our will. And that, I believe, gets to be one of the big time frustrations that people have whenever they're praying and they're not getting their answers, is the intermingling of our will with God's will, and kind of expecting that our will is what God's will is in that situation. And I will tell you, there have been times that I thought that I had embraced the will of God, and instead I had embraced the will of Bob. And I discovered that just because something sounds good to my spirit doesn't mean that that's God's spirit speaking to me. You've got to learn to know his voice. Whenever God speaks something to you, I like to take what God says as a commandment, as an order. It's not a negotiation point. When you know that God will always lead you in a victorious procession, when he will work out all things together for your good, whenever we enter into negotiations with God about his will, we are negotiating a worst deal for ourselves, a worse deal for ourselves than what God had intended for us. That's not a good thing. You know, when you go into negotiations, you generally want to negotiate a better deal. And God's already got that deal lined up for us. So whenever we start trying to talk ourselves out of doing God's will, we are talking ourselves into a worse situation than what God intends for us. Let's not go there. Instead, let's say, God, I'm going to do what you told me because I want to please you. You know, I had this personality that I'm kind of the compliant child. I didn't make a lot of waves or anything like that. I just wanted to, first of all, I don't like getting in trouble. One of my goals in ministry is to avoid any disciplinary problems at all. That's me. I don't like trouble. I want to be bold when it comes to the things of God. I want to say, you know what, God, if this is what you want from me, I want to please you more than I want to please anybody else on the planet. And I want to step out in faith. I want to pray. I want to pray what you want me to pray. I want to do the things that you have called me to do. And God, I know this, when I'm operating in that level of spiritual authority, the things that I ask are going to be heard by you, and the provision is on the way. And so I want you to have confidence. Know that you're saved. Know that you are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're walking in pleasing obedience to him, and watch the answers to prayer come your way. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The Lord.